Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in the Middle East this week, trying to reassure allies that the U.S. remains committed to the region. Speaking at the American University in Cairo, he criticized the Obama administration's policies in the region.
The age of self-inflicted American shame is over, and so are the policies that produce so much needless suffering. Now comes the real new beginning.
He's referring there to President Obama's own Cairo speech from 2009, which was meant to reach out to the Muslim world in the wake of the U.S. response to 9/11. NPR's Jane Arraf is on the line from Baghdad, where she's been monitoring all of this. Jane, what were the big takeaways from Secretary Pompeo's speech?
Oh, gosh, where to start? A lot of it was about Iran, a lot of tough words on Iran, calling them a cancerous influence in the region was, you know, one of the mildest things he said. He basically focused on what the U.S. was doing about Iran, essentially, as he put it, to fix what the previous administration had not done to create what he calls this mess. There's the Middle East peace process. The U.S., of course, the administration has promised a peace agreement somewhere down the line. 10 years ago, the Palestinians and their legitimate aspirations and said their situation was intolerable. Pompeo celebrated the Israeli national anthem played at a judo championship as an example of things, how things were becoming normalized. And a lot of it really was just to draw a difference between the previous administrations and how they see the region and the Muslim world.
Right. I mean, it's not a coincidence that he chose to deliver this speech from Cairo, because Republicans, ever since Obama gave that speech, Republicans have been criticizing Barack Obama, calling it an apologist tour when he was trying to reach out to the Muslim world.
Yeah, and Pompeo went even further. He talked about what he called fundamental misunderstandings 10 years ago as adversely affecting the lives of hundreds of millions of people in Egypt and across the region. That's a pretty sweeping accusation. He lays a lot of the blame to openness to Islam and a misunderstanding, he says, of the history. And essentially, he blamed the Obama administration for a lot of the things that the U.S. was facing now. But while he says that there is a way forward, he was very short on specifics on that.
Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi is likely to be happy with Pompeo's remarks. What about other leaders in the region?
Yes, Sisi is likely to be quite thrilled at Pompeo praising his courage. Sisi is fighting a very opaque war against ISIS in his own country. Other people in the region, you know, this is a new era, and part of that new era is a belief that the United States is more than willing to look the other way to repression and human rights abuses in countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia if there are security or economic benefits. But also, Pompeo was playing to his own base. He mentioned straight off he was an evangelical Christian. And he talked about abandoning Christians under previous administrations. So there was a lot in that speech, but a lot of it also aimed at his base.
NPR's Jane Arraf from Baghdad. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
President Trump is heading to McAllen, Texas today, again trying to convince the American public that a border wall is needed and that the government shutdown is worth it. The way President Trump has described this wall over time has changed quite a bit. NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith has more.
Back in 2014, when the businessman Donald Trump was toying with the idea of running for president, he said he would build a border fence. That summer, a couple of his advisors, including Sam Nunberg, came up with the idea of calling it a wall as a way of signaling Trump would be an immigration hardliner.
And what better way than to have his brand incorporated by Donald Trump saying, yeah, I'm going to build a wall. Nobody builds like Trump.
Nunberg wants to be clear. Trump rejected plenty of their ideas, but he went all in on the wall.
It was fun. It was cool. It was novel.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively.
Trump officially launched his campaign in June 2015 with the wall as a centerpiece.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
That December at a rally in Virginia, a little boy asked Trump for the specs on his wall.
What are the walls going to be made out of?
That might be the best question I get today. I'll tell you what it's going to be made of. It's going to be made of hardened concrete, and it's going to be made out of rebar and steel.
When he described his wall, he talked about concrete. He mocked those who said it would be hard or impractical. But it's worth noting that even very early on, he never said it would extend unbroken from sea to shining sea.
Well, we have 2,000 miles. We actually need 1,000, even less than that, because we have a lot of natural barriers, right? Big, strong, wonderful natural barriers.
After Trump became president, though, his description of the wall started to change. This was Trump on Fox News in November 2017.
One of the things that's come up pretty strongly is we want to have vision through the wall because you want to see what's on the other side of the wall. You know, you think we're going to build a nice, simple concrete wall, but it's not that simple.
That was a dose of reality, meeting the president's concrete wall. For safety reasons, border agents want to be able to see what's on the other side. So the wall would actually be made of tall steel bollards or posts, which, strictly speaking, is more like a fence than a wall. Still, Trump kept calling it a wall, kept leading chants at his rallies all through last year. But now, with Democrats refusing to fund the president's wall, he's emphasizing the shift in building materials.
You can never have border security unless you have a steel barrier, a concrete wall, you can call it whatever you want.
Steel slats, steel barrier. It's not a concrete wall. But does that matter to the people who elected Trump to build a wall? Sam Nunberg, the early campaign advisor, says no.
What matters is that there's something built that has not been like anything that's built before, that is bigger, grander.
Now, Nunberg doesn't claim to speak for all Trump voters, but he's looked at recent polling in focus groups.
Trump supporters define success on the border as building the wall, and he has to build the wall or get the wall started.
Trump's political future may well depend on it. Tamara Keith, NPR News.